Welcome to another edition of the Kingdom Driven Family. I am your host, Andrea Schwartz. The thrust of being a Kingdom Driven Family has as much to do with how you operate as a mother, as a wife, as a son or daughter in the family, with the focus being not the family in and of itself, the focus being serving the Kingdom of God. So a healthy family is better able to serve the Kingdom of God, much the same way that a healthy person is much better able to serve the Kingdom of God. But for a lot of new mothers, it's really hard to get up to speed in terms of things they should be looking for with regards to their husband or their children. Not all of them have a background in medicine or health. And so my guest today, Kay Ness, is going to talk to us a little bit about how you go about educating yourself for the very important task of being a wife and mother. Now, Kay is a neurodevelopmentalist, and she's certified by the International Christian Association of Neurodevelopmentalists. Rather than trying to explain that to you myself, since she's on the other end of the line here, I'm going to let her do it. So, Kay, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Andrea. How are you today?
Well, eager to learn, as I imagine a lot of people who are listening. So, first of all, what is a neurodevelopmentalist?
A neurodevelopmentalist is a person that's trained to evaluate a child with respect to the developmental process from birth up to full, what we call neurological organization, or full healthy adult function. So there's different levels of brain development that from a newborn until the child becomes fully developed as far as how they receive, process, store, and utilize information. So the brain grows and develops, and we look at all those developmental steps. And if there's a problem with development, if the child has learning problems or sensory problems or autism or developmental delays or brain injury, we look at, you know, what steps the child needs to go back through and remediate those areas and how to accelerate the development.
Okay, so do people only come to you when they recognize a problem, or is this a sort of thing that everybody should be looking at in terms of how to be most healthy or how to be better prepared for learning and things like that?
Well, you know, God took me on that path when I had a child. I'm actually a chemical engineer by degree. And when I had a child, it was the most fascinating thing to me in the world, and I wanted to learn about brain development. And I had actually studied some early childhood training stuff when I was in engineering school. I studied Montessori work and so forth. And so my first approach was working with my own son, and providentially, I was at Goodwill looking at the books, and there was a little book there by a fellow named Glenn Durman called How to Teach Your Baby to Read, and I was just fascinated, and so I got home, read the book, and I called the organization that he was a part of in Philadelphia and said, can I come up and just hang around and watch what y'all are doing? And they said, oh, we have classes. And I said, very cool. So within a month, I was on an airplane up to Philadelphia to start learning. So knowing this work and knowing the developmental process, I started teaching my son to read at 12 months old. By 2 years old, he was a fully automatized reader, and he was reading at college level by age 7. So by knowing the developmental steps, you can create an environment to help your child achieve a level of excellence that is God-given. I mean, that's where we were meant to be, and that's where our forefathers were. Today, we've kind of slowed down the development of children by a lot of things we do. So there's lots of information that we can share. As a matter of fact, that's my passion. My passion is that I would love to help Christian parents get their children reading at college level by age 7.
Okay, let me ask you a question, though. Some people might say, and I'll play devil's advocate because I don't believe this, but some people might say, wow, so you want all these parents to spend all this time to have overachieving children. What is this, so that they can live out their fantasy that says, gee, my child is smarter than the next person's child?
Well, that's a simple attitude. Milton was reading I think it was his father put his desk next to his at the age of 5 because he was already reading English and he wanted to teach him Greek, John Milton.
I see. So now, are you saying that the understanding of a 5-year-old, I mean, there's reading, being able to read the words. Are you saying that a child 7 years old is going to have the same degree and depth of understanding as someone who's quite a bit older?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Absolutely not. But the child that is able to read the Bible at that age will certainly be exposed to a lot more information and able to explore it in more depth when he's in his childhood than a child that doesn't learn to read until he's 9 or 10. I view it as God created language. God created us with the ability to take in language, whether it's visually or auditorily, or even tactily. You know, blind people learn to read with their hands. And so we don't know exactly how it is. I just observe the process with humility. And I know what children are capable of doing. And even in the area of physical, emotional, mental abilities, if you do not raise them with a heart submitted to Christ, then you'll have a very smart little heathen.
Right.
That's not what you want.
No, right. We don't need more of those.
No, there's enough of those, thank you.
Right. So let's take a new mom. She might be in her early 20s, did some schooling. Maybe she has a degree. Maybe she doesn't. So she brings that baby home from the hospital, and her attitude is very much along the lines of, I want to make sure the child eats well. I want to make sure the child is safe. I want to make sure the child sleeps well. What else should she be looking at?
Okay. Do you want me to talk about vaccinations?
Well, you can. I told you I wanted to talk about what you wanted to talk about and pick your brain, so go for it.
The first thing I am afraid of for the new moms, and it happened to me, is I didn't know anything about the vaccination process. But I will tell you, I've done this work for 29 years, and in 1991, when the vaccination rate went up and they started giving a hepatitis B vaccine at birth, we saw the rate of autism just escalate. And for the doctors to say that there's no connection is absolutely wrong. You know, you need 2 or 3 witnesses. We have thousands of witnesses that vaccinations are damaging our children and causing all kinds of autoimmune issues and problems. So the first thing I tell new moms is, please, dear God, please examine the vaccination issue. The issue is informed consent. Do you have informed consent? Do you know the possibilities with respect to what these vaccines do, what's in them, and so forth? You do not. Go to NVIC.org, which is Barbara Lowe Fisher's page. She's been in this battle since the 1980s when her child was injured by a vaccine. And inform yourself. You and your husband, inform yourself. Prayerfully consider this, because you will not get the information from most doctors.
I understand what you're saying. I am a doctor's daughter. My father was a general practitioner. He's the kind of guy who made house calls. I remember my mother saying, whatever you do, don't marry a doctor. That was her big advice to me, because he would wake up in the middle of the night and respond to patients and actually go to their houses. Well, I don't think that happens much anymore. But there's a certain relationship people have with their doctor if they trust their doctor. Should they look at their doctor as a complete authority who should never be questioned, or should they look at the doctor as one counselor among many?
One among many, darling.
So let's say well, he's been to college, he's been to medical school, he's done an internship, a residency, he has his own practice. How is a mother supposed to stand against what he's telling her as, your children need these vaccinations and there's nothing wrong with them?
All you can do is research and inform yourself, because you will not get the information from most doctors. And they will try to bully you into it.
What would you say, let's say someone is just married, doesn't even have children yet, or maybe she's pregnant and she's considering, you know, what am I going to do when the time comes? Because some people can be very strong-armed about it and even threaten to report you if you don't do what they say. where would the research start for somebody?
I send people to nvic.org as the first place to go.
Okay.
And read up on there. There's all kinds of links on that. There's scientific papers that it's linked to. There's VIRS, which is a vaccine reaction publication that you can go to and read what's going on. And there's lots of links, and there's people that are foaming at the mouth, crazy on both sides of the issue. What you need to do is to have informed consent and to know what the possibilities are, what kind of, quote, diseases. I mean, you know, a newborn baby, hepatitis B, how do you get it? You get it from sex and from IV drugs. Is your newborn baby going to have sex or IV drugs? I don't think so.
Right.
We don't even vaccinate puppies at birth, all right? And they're giving newborn babies these hepatitis B vaccines. That doesn't make sense.
Right. Now, there are some people who would say, some people are seeing, you know, conspiracies everywhere. Do you think that the majority of medical professionals are driven by the fact that they just have taken what they've been taught and said, okay, this is what we should do? Or is there reason to suspect malice?
I don't know. I can't judge somebody's heart.
Does it even matter if you're the mother trying to wade through these waters? Do you have to just sort of forget about what the potential motives might be and say, okay, I want to find out what all this means, and does my child really need it?
You need to find a doctor that's going to respect your rights as a parent to choose medical treatment for your child. I mean, we've had cases in the news lately of children being taken away for refusing certain procedures, or, you know, the situation at Boston where the 15-year-old girl with mitochondrial disease, the state took her for, what, 15 months?
Right. So I know a lot of parents' orientation might be, I don't want that to happen, so maybe I shouldn't challenge my doctor. So what you're saying is, find a different doctor.
Find a doctor that's going to respectfully spend time with you and actually respect your rights as a parent. And they're out there.
Okay.
You can email me.
Well, good, good. By the way, how would they get a hold of you so that, since you said they could email you?
KNF.com.
Oh, that's hard.
That's hard.
Okay. You're making this really difficult for people, Kay.
Okay, yeah, KNF.com.
Okay, so vaccinations were the first thing, and get an understanding of that. What would be the next thing?
Nutrition. I think you need to inform yourself of what good nutrition is. Most infant formulas are full of high fructose corn syrup and nasty nutrition. I give away as a wedding present, a cookbook textbook called Nourishing Traditions by Sally Fallon. And it's based on traditional nutrient-dense foods. So you need to inform yourself about nutrition, quit eating processed foods, and so be on as nutrient-dense a diet as you can, like your grandmother used to cook, okay?
And is this possible for people, even if they're not all that well-to-do?
Oh, it's the only way to go. You know, if you're not well-to-do, you certainly can't afford doctors that much.
Okay, so now you've handled not poisoning your child for diseases that they're not going to necessarily encounter anyway, and making sure that they're eating well. I imagine if you're a nursing mother, you want to make sure you're eating well, too, because you're passing that on to your child.
Before you're pregnant, you should look at your nutrition.
Okay. So what's the next thing somebody should look at?
And your husband's nutrition.
That's true, because it takes two to make that baby.
Amen.
At least that's how it is most of the time.
We live in a strange world, don't we, Andrea?
Yes, we do. Okay, so what's the next thing that somebody should be educating themselves about?
I think you need to look at developmentally where the child needs to be. You know, we need to look at the environment we need to create for the child. Don't put them in walkers, lots of tummy time, and not exposed to a bunch of chemicals. Like all the baby clothes have fire retardant in it. which has nasty chemicals in it. So as natural and clean an environment as you can have chemically for the child, and then developmentally what you should do with that child. They shouldn't be exposed to, you know, lots of videos and electronics and all that. They should spend time on the tummy, on the floor, learning to do all those developmentally appropriate steps. And interacting, lots of good language, and also high-quality music and sound. And speaking to the child and showing him things. I mean, teaching babies is one of my favorite parts.
So is there a particular kind of music that's best suited for children?
Baroque.
Okay. So not a lot of the little nonsense kinds of things that TV is full of.
No. Endangered Minds. I can't remember the name of the author. Right. It talks about she hates PBS.
Well, I remember, you know, first child, Sesame Street was on all the time. And then when I looked at how they were teaching things and they had characters that spoke poor English, I said, this is a bad idea. So the subsequent children didn't get Sesame Street unless somebody snuck it in on them when I wasn't there, which people were inclined to do. But anyway, it's true. I think, you know, we're all impressed with the child who can maneuver through the iPad, but has no real desire to sit there and listen to someone read to him.
I'm not.
Well, some people are. I'm not saying I am, but it's like, well, look, kids today, I could never have done that iPad when I was young. I hear people say that, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's good for the child.
Andrea, that terrifies me. When I see these children walking around out in nature with their electronic thing in their hand and they're looking at it, instead of looking at the glories of creation around them, if they take them to church and don't even have eye contact with you or say hello, they're too busy looking at their little electronic doodad. Mm-hmm. I think we're creating a society of sociopaths, if you want to know the truth. So electronics really scares me and how they're being used with children. Mm-hmm. So if you want a child to develop excellence, you have to create an environment of excellence for the child. Excellent language, excellent grammar, excellent music, excellent sound, and so forth. So It makes a lot of sense. You go to my website, there's lots of articles on there about kind of developmentally what to do with your child, knest.com, and I'll be glad to answer questions or whatever if people have.
I've been reading an awful lot lately about making sure your children get dirty and play in the dirt and play outside, that it's actually very healthy for them, which is very different than, you know, bacterial soap every place you turn around telling you to wash your hands.
Yeah, there's a lot of warnings coming out about the antibacterial soaps now, actually causing problems and the toxicity. Yeah, a healthy immune system needs to be developed. It's developmental, just like the brain is developmental. The brain wires up and grows according to the stimulation it gets. If it gets excellent stimulation, it grows in an excellent way. If it gets lousy stimulation, it doesn't grow very well. So, yeah, you need to expose the child to a certain amount of dirt, but not too much to overwhelm the system. But also, right. You have to have excellent nutrition so the child's immune system can develop properly. A lot of the interventions at birth also cause major problems. I would say the number one problem for the number one thing you need to strengthen health-wise is the gut. A natural birth process, the child is inoculated with certain bacteria in the gut from the natural birth. A lot of children are born C-section, they don't get that. Or the children are given antibiotics at birth, it wipes out their gut flora. And they can't develop a good, healthy gut. The gut is the center of your immune system. Mm-hmm. How well you're functioning, even as far as how you're functioning mentally. They're connecting a lot of, quote, mental disorders with poor gut health and pathogens in the gut also.
So when you're talking gut health, I'm not sure a lot of people know this. There's two problems that you can have with your gut. You can have the problem of good nutrients aren't getting through into your bloodstream that will then feed the cells and have you grow and be healthy. So that's one thing. And then the other thing is having things pass through your gut into your bloodstream that should never be there.
Right. If you have a healthy, I think I just read something that said there's 10 times more bacteria cells in your gut than there are cells in your body. And the microbiome of the gut is very, very important in the development of that. If you don't have healthy gut bacteria, you can get overgrowth of pathogenic type things like candida that can actually cause what we call leaky gut, which is what you're talking about, where the child actually has foreign proteins and so forth leaking into their blood system, which causes allergies, asthma, all kinds of problems, autism, and so forth. So you've heard a zillion people are on a gluten-free diet now. We don't have healthy guts, you know. We're so wimpy, we're not just not that healthy.
So, okay, so somebody's listening and says, boy, from what she says, I really screwed up. I haven't been doing this right. Can you reverse the effects of these things? Let's say you've already vaccinated your children. Is it a hopeless case?
Oh, no. We serve a God of hope. And there's always paths to healing, and that's what I do all the time. I don't have a life, so I'm always exploring to heal people and to help children overcome problems, and adults, too. I consult with a lot of adults. So, sure, if your child has had vaccines and they don't have any obvious damage, you know, inform yourself and look at what you're going to do in the future. Andrea, the chickenpox vaccine is made from aborted fetal cells. What in the world, you know, we all had chickenpox. You know, measles, mumps, rubella, we all had those, right?
Right. But you know something, here's an interesting sideline. You probably, this won't surprise you, but it might people who are listening. I tried to get my children to get the chickenpox just by hanging around other people who had the chickenpox because I never wanted them to get the vaccination because chickenpox isn't a deadly disease. It's like, I got it, you handle it. Anyway, try as I might, I even went over to people's homes. I got my one daughter in a bathtub with a kid who had chickenpox. They still didn't get the chickenpox, except back in 2004, my 12-year-old did.
Mm-hmm.
And she, you know, it was uncomfortable and she didn't like it. Well, her sister, who is 7.5 years older, got it 2 weeks later. Mm-hmm. And she was kind of miserable because by the time you're 19 years old, you don't like it. Anyway, my husband's a salesman and he ended up selling a car to someone who we later found out was pretty famous, named Dr. Cathcart. And he said, bring your daughter in. We did. 2 IV bags of vitamin C, and we watched her chicken pox disappear.
Oh, that is so cool. I don't know you know him. That's cool.
Yeah. He's since passed away, but I've read a lot of his stuff, and now I've discovered that vitamin C is a major component. And he said, we kept saying, why don't people know about this? He says, because you can't patent vitamin C.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, so I have told so many people about that in terms of, really, I think she had spots for 2 days after that. But my younger daughter was like, gee, Dad, it would have been nice if you sold a car to this guy 2 weeks before. I could have had a lot easier time of this.
That is a very cool story. I like that a lot. What an honor to meet the guy.
And he was a regular, I mean, regular guy. If somebody had told me this guy was famous, I would have said, I don't think so.
Oh, that's awesome. You're a very odd doctor's daughter, aren't you?
I am, indeed. I used to joke with my father. I said, you know, they say a doctor's practice. You guys always are practicing. Apparently, you never get it right.
That's right. Where were we?
Well, we were talking about if you had gone ahead and done the vaccination things, can you reverse it?
Yes. I recommend cod liver oil for all babies, children, nursing moms, or whatever. You need that vitamin A and the vitamin D and the essential fatty acids in the balance that you get at cod liver oil, with cod liver oil. Also, even the formation of the bones and the facial structure and the teeth, you need the cod liver oil. You need those components in it. The best cod liver oil out there is greenpasture.org. And I don't make any money off of this, but they should pay me.
Okay. I'll give them a call.
The cod liver oil with the butter oil, which has vitamin K2, is based on the work of Dr. Weston Price, who was a dentist back in the 1920s. And he did his research back then. Do you know you can heal cavities? that you could heal cavities is just amazing. Aren't we fearfully and wonderfully made? That we can actually, like if a child has a problem with learning or if you have a brain injury, that through the miracle of neuroplasticity, the brain can actually rewire itself. Isn't that just fantastic?
Oh, I know. Here's the thing I want to know. You know, so many people get married and start families as if you don't really have to train yourself to do a good job of it. I mean, they wouldn't go to a mechanic who just decided I was going to be a mechanic today and then check out YouTube videos or something like that. But people go into running a household without a real sense of how you do it. If you were talking to homeschooling parents and saying, look, if you really want to prepare your children to be able to run their families on a healthy basis, you know, do they have to take chemistry? Do they have to go to school and go through all the biology and everything else, anatomy and physiology? Or is there a way for them to pick up what they need to know without necessarily having to go through a degree program?
Well, you ask complicated questions.
I know.
With my son, I taught him to read labels at an early age. And since he could read well, he could read labels at an early age. I think I think the number one thing is learning to cook.
Okay. And you mean what you use, in other words, your ingredients, instead of getting the Sara Lee TV dinners, if they still make them, I don't know. I grew up on Sara Lee TV dinners. My mother thought that was a great find. And incidentally, she passed away at 50 years old from heart disease. So that's not a surprise to me now and looking back. So knowing what's good nutrition-dense food and then learning how to cook with it so it tastes good so people will eat it?
Yeah. It's not that hard, but, you know, when I was in college, I'm 63. When I was in college in the early 70s, three of my roommates did not know how to cook, even back then. So I grew up in a poor family, and Mother was such a bad cook, all of us learned to cook out of self-defense. So, you know, you just need to start educating yourself. Read books on nutrition, read cookbooks. But it's confusing out there, because I've studied this stuff since I was 20. That's 43 years. And you get so many different views and visions. That's why I say start people on the Nourishing Traditions cookbook. And, you know, just kind of gently go into it and learn to make broth and learn to make healthy foods and learn to make, you know, have the ferments and the natural, the grass-fed beef. Learn to eat real food and buy from local farmers so you don't have something, you know, poisoned in China that you're getting.
Right. Interestingly enough, I live in California, so there are farmers markets all over the place. So I know that's not the case for everybody, but that just means you have to do a little bit of extra work if you live in a place that doesn't have access to the, you know, immediate fresh fruits and vegetables.
And grow a garden.
Right. Yeah. I think that we're so used to instant gratification that the fact that it may take you a while to learn things. And, you know, if you start being healthier today, you may not have it all right for years, but you started. Scripture says, whatever you do, whether you eat or you drink, do it all to the glory of God. So from my way of thinking, what you put in your mouth should glorify God, and you should ask that question. And that's something that I think most Christians don't even think about.
Right.
As evidence, when you go to many church potlucks that are just filled with high carbohydrate, sugary things, and it's not surprising to look and see how many people are carrying a whole lot of extra weight that more than likely will shorten their lifespan.
And it's wrapped in aluminum, so they get Alzheimer's, right?
Yeah. Well, I bet you sometimes people avoid you going, oh my goodness, this woman's going to tell me something I don't want to hear. Or maybe they seek you out. Which one is it?
Both. Stick their fingers in their ears and go, nah, 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 I can't hear you.
Right. One thing that has certainly been true since I have really begun to focus on whole foods and dense, you know, nutrition-dense foods is that you want to go out to eat less because you know you're going to pay more money for something that isn't as healthful.
That's for sure.
Well, Kay, I hope people get in touch with you who listen. And if it's a whole lot of people, then you can blame me. But you said you'll talk to me, so it's your fault ultimately.
All right. Well, God bless you, Andrea, and Godspeed.
Give the website one more time.
KNESS.com, KAYNESS.com.
Join me again next time for another edition of the Kingdom Driven Family Podcast.